Thanks so much, Zach, and thanks everyone for being here today. I want to talk to you today about the 2x2 project, which is a novel communications project that we started in 2012 at Mailman School of Public Health in the Department of Epidemiology. And we have actually just relaunched our website. So our URL is the2x2project.org. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the structure of this particular communications project. There's a reason why we call it the project as opposed to a site specifically. A little bit about how we're structured, our role in training health communicators and how we do that exactly, and then give you some examples of how we innovatively blend public health science and research with communications and journalism to actually do what we want to do, which is elevate conversations about public health and public health science in particular. So really, at the very core of what we do at the 2x2 Project is bring together folks who are interested in communications and specifically in getting training in journalism blending that with their public health expertise, so master's and doctoral students and even communicators who are interested in getting some experience in communicating about public health. And our mission is really centered on translating science to a digitally engaged audience and a very socially conscious audience. And I'll be very frank, our audience tends to be educated people who are interested in having and moving conversations about public health forward in the digital sphere. And really what we're, you know, kind of the ethos that we have at the 2x2 Project is that data are more powerful in the context of a story, and stories are greatly enhanced with data. So we very much take that principle to heart and use it in all of the content that we produce to shape stories and communication about public health. So we are, as I mentioned, interested in shaping digital conversations about public health, and not only digital conversations, but stoking conversations beyond the digital sphere. So ultimately, what we would like to do is have some impact on population health through the kinds of content and this blending of journalism and population health research that we're bringing to the digital sphere. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the very kind of core of what we do at the 2x2 Project, which in many ways is to train future health science communicators. So we have just entered cohort 4 of, so we've been doing this for 4 years now, training a group of 4 to 6 fellows every year. They spend 1 year with us and they engage in a cooperative learning experience, which means that they're learning while they're doing. So they spend an initial summer in the program engaging in didactic training. So they take a journalism course that is very much guided and tailored to science writing and communicating public health science and research. And then that is buttressed by intensive workshops that mostly that I lead, and then I bring in other folks who are expert in these areas. And we bring them through the whole process of content production and story production, narrative production in public health, from pitching and then doing the initial reporting, honing their interviewing skills, finding their own voices so they can shape thoughtful and compelling commentaries. They engage in peer editing, also get trained in social media, and in for those who are interested in principles of data visualization. So it's a very, very rich experience. I mean, they do the bulk of content production that we feature on the 2x2project.org. So we are interested in covering issues that are overtly public health in nature, but also bringing out the public health relevance in issues that we just confront every day in society and in culture. And so we're interested in kind of these off-diagonal kinds of issues, like championing gun violence for, you know, as a public health issue and looking prismically at the contours of gun violence as a public health issue from its historical underpinnings and tensions with the NRA and public health campaigns to the role of advertising, for example, both on the side of gun proponents and gun right proponents to public health messaging around gun violence to in fact, stem it. Right, so I want to delve into a little bit of content as well, specific examples that I think are particularly relevant to this panel, which has a global emphasis. So at first and foremost, we're interested in a variety of different content. And the initial example that I have is from the policy area. So several years ago, Larkin Callahan, who is just a fantastic communicator and has gone on to have a career in public health communications, wrote one of many pieces looking at reproductive rights and sort of the sexual and reproductive rights issues in public health. And this particular piece looked at sex-selective abortion and its ultimate impact on population health, which, if you've been reading the news lately, you know that China, for example, has decided to abandon its one-child policy. And so this piece is still relevant. The research that Larkin did and the story that she told around sex-selective abortion as a shaper of population health remains relevant, even though this particular story was produced 3 years ago. We're also interested in kind of novel practices in public health. And Chris Tate from cohort three, I believe, no, cohort two, forgive me, who is also is in Canada pursuing a PhD in epidemiology and has a career in health communications as well, wrote a particular piece on novel interventions to curb suicide, focusing in particular on an intervention that is a positive messaging intervention on a bridge that was kind of the flashpoint for, you know, the a really, really large number of suicides in South Korea. And after this intervention, and Chris tells this story in a very compelling way, he personalizes it because he went to undergraduate at Cornell, which has a very high suicide rate. So he weaves in his own personal issues and experiences into that narrative to tell a very impactful story about a novel intervention that is not about the physical, like modifying the physical structure of bridges, but positive messaging that leads people to decide not to commit suicide at this particular point. We also were interested in kind of putting pressure on, kind of engaging in some antics and putting pressure on various actors or forces, I should say, in particular corporate drivers of population health. So this was one of our most successful pieces, I think, in that initial year that we launched. And it was an open letter to LeBron James that it was imploring him to drop his advertising, his endorsement of Coca-Cola and McDonald's. This ended up getting picked up by Mark Bittman in the New York Times and also ABC News. So the conversation did not end on our website. It did not end on our social media front. It, in fact, ramified, at least at that moment in time. It got some play, you know, on the national level in terms of press. So a very successful example of shaping public health conversations. We're also interested in looking at these kinds of drivers of population health that we can find a more local kind of approach and a more global kind of approach and find commonalities in those particular practices, in those scientific or systemic approaches to solving problems like the global burden of lung disease that are applicable not only in Kentucky, but all the way to Beijing. And so we like to highlight those kinds of issues that really, I think, underscore the fact that we can use common public health approaches across different contexts with great success. The Trans-Pacific Partner, Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement was something that was not given a lot of attention in the media, even though it was an enormous threat to public health, and I think still remains. And one of the things that we're interested in doing is looking at media coverage of public health issues and trying to understand why certain stories get picked up and why other stories do not. That's one way that we shape the conversation. And finally, penultimately, we're interested in using data visualization as a way of shaping conversations about public health. And I think that it's a very effective way that we can actually translate science in a meaningful way and educate the public at the same time. So this particular infographic was produced by Cohort 3 member Florence Lee, who also is pursuing a career in public health communications, really just breaking down very sometimes difficult to grasp concepts like herd immunity, what the reproductive number is, how resurgence in measles epidemics came to be. These are very important issues for the public to actually understand, and I think the last year's example of Ebola really, really underscores the need to have crisp and clear communications that's evidence-based so that we can be united around messaging in public health. And finally, we also engage in the production of long-form content, and these are really in-depth explorations of public health issues. And we do less of this kind of production of content because it is so labor-intensive and requires just a lot of time to produce really high-quality pieces. But this particular piece on gambling as a public health issue actually was picked up by Pacific Standard magazine, was reprinted in Pacific Standard, and this was written by a journalist who is on staff with us for several years, Elaine Meyer, and is just a fantastic read and a great example of how in-depth exploration in the form of long-form journalism can really, really bring to light the various public health contours of problems. We disseminate our content through social media, and we are exploring new ways to tell stories through Instagram and Snapchat. And I don't want to belabor that. I think that some other folks are gonna go into issues around digital media, but I'm happy to talk to you about this more. But thank you so much for your attention, and I invite you to elevate the conversation with the 2x2 Project.